Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gajichami, Dutiyam, Bhitatiyam, Bhisavaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gajichami, Dutiyam, Bhitatiyam, Bhisavaha. I return to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyam Bhitatiyam Bhisavaha. I return to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the decades of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is a holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this reputation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this reputation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi svaha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
Thank you.
We are here during the suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
What would you like to look at this morning? Rebecca.
So I started reading the communication book and am loving it.
So that's the new book, just published.
And so communication is on my mind. And then couple that with yesterday, I had the great good fortune to clean the shop. And I just hope everybody else enjoyed their tasks as much as I enjoyed mine. Because that was so much fun. And I, you know, would have never thought that that would, I would say, put all those together, but it really was.
So communication is on your mind, reading the new communication book. And yesterday you got to do a cleaning task that sounds like brought you a lot of... You enjoyed it.
Yes, and had something to do with communication. So what, so what I kept noticing as I was going around moving things and dusting under them and dusting the things and all of those kinds of things was how vital communication is in that shop. Things were labeled and there were signs and there were cautions and there were directions and there were... And it. I just kept marveling over and over that... two things. One is how well compassionate communication has been modeled at this place by the guide and then all the people that she's trained by, you know, for better, you know, we do our best, you know, but as much as we can to model that so well, number one. But the second thing was how... just how kind it is and how, here's what we try to put into words. It was like to be a steward of all of those resources that are in that shop, tools and everything that's in that shop, and to not communicate about what it is and all that effectively sort of puts them out of commission. Like I couldn't, if I didn't know what was there and something about them through one form of communication or another, I mean, they might as well be in a landfill, right? For as useful as they would be. But the communication makes them accessible. Does that make sense?
So the way that communication and cleaning the shop yesterday came together for you was seeing how communication is embodied and modeled in the shop when things are labeled so that they're accessible. And you were seeing in that how that's compassionate for all. It makes those resources available to all.
Yes. In fact, there were some big, large trash cans that weren't labeled.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed, and I didn't notice it until, like, later, that I didn't tend to those because I didn't know what they were. And so I didn't want to, you know, I mean, so I'll communicate and ask about it. And so that, therefore, that can be, they can be addressed if they need to be emptied or whatever. But it does require some communication in order to attend to something.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be a really big part of the message of the book, at least the first part that I've gotten to, is that communication facilitates the attending to whatever, whether it's a relationship or whether it's a work project or whether it's one's own well-being. It's the portal through which that care and attention can flow or something.
So communication is the portal through which the care and attention can flow. That it requires communication to attend to something. So in the example of those two trash cans that you weren't sure about, you see how you get to be a participant in that compassionate communication by communicating about what's going on with them so that, you know, if there's any attending to them that needs to be done, that can happen.
To move along, like, okay, so yesterday, clearly, for whatever reason, it was my turn to be a part of that, the life of that shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I get to jump in and add, because I haven't been a big part of my life here, you know, much, a little bit, but not much. And so now I can either, well, my job is just to clean it. You know, I can either just do that and move on, or I can kind of come into the life of it, and communication is the way in which that can happen.
So it sounds like you're aware of those two places, the separation place, which would have been the, I'm just going to clean it and move on, but it kind of doesn't have anything to do with me, I don't have anything to do with it. Or you can be a participant in the life of the shop, and communication is the way that that happens.
And just one last thing you're reflecting that, I just saw another connection. So you know, I've been doing this daily time with a tree, 5 minutes with a tree. And yesterday, the tree that I spent some time with, I noticed it looked a little rough around the edges. It didn't, you know, it looked like it was maybe struggling a little bit. And when I looked back, I saw these humongous things of mistletoe in the tree, and it just occurred to me, I wonder if those are hurting, if those are, you know, the balance is getting a little out of whack. And so I made myself a note to communicate, you know, just because it dropped in. I mean, I don't know if we do anything like that, remove mistletoe from trees, or I don't know, but that's what I can communicate about.
Yes.
And it just dropped in. I'm not in charge of that, but I was the one spending the time with the tree, and so it dropped in. So, you know, if there's anything to be done, it feels like, well, I can help. I can help in that one little way to communicate.
You can help in that one little way to communicate, and you are a participant in that by being present to that tree. Something dropped in, and you made a note of it to communicate. And it's just such a clear modeling of getting out of that conversation about, well, I don't know if we're doing here, and into here and what is so, and communicating what is so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that way, we way, mistaken identity. If I had thought that was me, well, I don't know, how am I? I don't know anything about tree, you know, whatever.
Yes.
If I thought that was me,
yes,
then that would have just killed it right there.
Yes.
Well, good luck, tree, and then move on, you know.
Yeah.
But since I know, no, I'm the cell in the body of the Buddha.
Yeah.
That's what's authentic here.
Yeah.
And my role, I'm clear about, is to communicate, you know. And so it totally changes the whole dynamic of the situation.
Yeah, it changes the whole dynamic of the situation. To be in awareness of that conversation in the head is going on, realize that it's not you, and to be present, to make the note, to communicate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jen, did I see your hands before?
Wow, I don't know if I did put them up before, but they
No pressure.
You saw it before I did. Gosh, I appreciate that. It was lovely. And I've also been looking at communication because of the book, and just I feel really that place of what's the word? Just enthusiasm and excitement and possibility as I begin reading it. Because it's like all of Sherry and Ashwini's books where it's like, right. You know, it's not like, gosh, I've never thought of that before, or, you know, it's always that experience of resonance, but not a, yeah, I know, but instead that place of, oh, yeah, which feels like it opens up. In this case, I think the enthusiasm is, boy, it's obvious how much suffering happens around communication, and just holding this book in my hands with a sense of like, wow, that you know, not like we haven't worked with communication over a long time, but somehow having such a, it's like having a new tool, I guess, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this tool that's specifically made for this screw.
Uh-huh.
How lovely an experience is that?
To continue our shop theme. I'm like offering the tools and making them available to it. That screw is sort of, you have this sense of holding a new tool in your hand. Mm-hmm. This screw is specifically for this job.
Mm-hmm.
So a book specifically on communication, it's not like you haven't looked at it a lot before. Mm-hmm. And there's this sense of reading it and having an experience of excitement and possibility and enthusiasm as you've experienced that resonance. Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because as you say that, worked with it a lot before, what I saw is, you know, it's that place and practice of coming at something. Okay. And then sort of that sense of, I've seen as much as I can see for now, and then something else comes to the fore, and then kind of coming back around to it, and see something from this angle. And then, and largely, at least in my experience, there are things that for a long time, it can feel like, it's like the giant bamboo image we sometimes use where supposedly the giant bamboo, you plant it and you water it for 5 years and it looks like nothing is happening. There's no evidence of anything happening, and then suddenly it shoots up after these 5 years. So it can feel like the experience of like, I'm watering it, you know, so it can feel like, mostly I'm aware of what doesn't work here. Mostly I'm aware of how the suffering happens around here. And then sort of now that sense of like, ooh, really being able to, not that all of that wasn't part of the, you know, watering the plant or whatever metaphor, we could get a lot of metaphors in here, but not that it's not all part of it, but it's so gratifying when you begin to actually see the manifestations of it.
So gratifying when you start to be able to see the manifestations of it, the evidence. And what I was hearing in that was that, as you were saying, you know, so I'm mostly aware of the suffering, I'm mostly aware of how it's not working. What I hear in that is the common theme is aware, the common process is aware. So it's like in a process of awareness throughout, and then awareness is being aware of the shoots coming up, it's all happening in a process of awareness.
Yeah, thank you for that reflection, because that's one of the meta processes I've really been seeing lately. In another recent group, we were looking at a loosening, I think, was the phrase that was used. That place where, you know, so whether it's looking at communication, or I'm looking at this, or I'm looking at whatever I'm looking at, really that often being aware of the awareness as the overall process. So sort of instead of, gosh, okay, I really want to work on this thing and I want to make progress on this thing, but kind of being aware of the evolution of all of the looking and being, quote, identified, if you will, with the looking and the awareness feels like a very, very compassionate, like loving place to be. That it feels like me, Jen, the human, if you will, gets held in this place of, there's so much room to explore, and there's never anything wrong. And Yeah, so instead of an assumption of kind of there's kind of something going on here and we need to see it and fix it and get on, you know, whatever that is. Instead, there's being held in this larger place of it's just unfolding perfectly. Uh-huh. You know, it really is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's all held in this larger place of it all unfolding perfectly, and it really is. And it's such a fundamental principle or teaching of our practice that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're sort of experiencing what it's like to embody that and experience that. All of this being held in this... in awareness. So instead of being in a place of there's something wrong and then there's something that needs to be fixed from there, in that kind of small mind world, mm-hmm. you're in this sort of big place of awareness, mm-hmm. Which can see everything that's going on, and the human being gets to be sort of, sounds like going through her life in that, held in that awareness.
Yeah, exactly. And as you're reflecting that, an example is dropping in of just something goes back to communication, something that I've been communicating about for a little while. And I just noticed these last few days, you know, okay, so here's the next thing to communicate. And just as I got the guidance back of, great, yes, sounds good, go ahead and take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. And what I watched was, like this, like, oh. Okay, now it's mine, you know, because kind of that, yeah, that reminds me of the, what I was really seeing in the communication book, but kind of that place of, in one of the things that's so fun in the beginning of the communication book is laying out all the ways we get a conversation around getting talked out of communication. Mm-hmm. And one of them, for me, would be, I'm going to get myself in over my head, kind of, uh-huh. you know, that it's going to be a whole mind to deal with. Uh-huh. And so, as I saw that, I was so delightful to watch. The first thing that came up is, well, it's going to be fascinating to see how this unfolds. Mm-hmm. And completely this sense of, like, yes, quote, I, however you say that, have stepped forward and communicated, and therefore it's been given back to me. Mm-hmm. But it isn't mine.
Uh-huh.
It isn't mine, and such a deep trust that my only task is to stay here mm-hmm. and just watch mm-hmm. and not assume anything and not get into doing anything and not get into any what about and down the road. And honest to God, it's such a beautiful place to be held of just like, how can it be? Nothing's going to happen. There's nothing that can happen. There is nothing that could happen. This is going to unfold in some way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, mm-hmm. but it's going to unfold and it's going to be just fine. Mm-hmm.
This is going to unfold in some way. We don't know how, and it's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you communicated about taking responsibility for something, mm-hmm. and you noticed that one of the ways that you get talked out of communicating in that internal conversation in the head is, what if I get in over my head?
Yeah.
And so you communicated, you saw that reaction of, now it's mine, and what you've got to realize is, it's not mine.
Oh.
You're taking responsibility, you're responding.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And all held, to go back to the word you were using earlier, exploration, right? You just get to explore, you get to be fascinated by how it's unfolding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Because the thing that I was really seeing with all of it is that, at least to me, it seems like what we're, quote, afraid of when we don't communicate or whatever is all conditioning.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid of conditioning inside my head. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the projected conditioning that's mm-hmm. going to come from mm-hmm. someone else. But that's the only thing mm-hmm. that we're responding to that we're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
What this is going to do to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that deep realization of there's nothing it can do to me uh-huh. without my consent.
Uh-huh.
That's a big place.
Yeah, a big place. A big place to realize that the only thing, that this can't do anything to you without your consent,
yeah.
right? And to realize on a very deep level that the only thing we're afraid of ever in communication is conditioning. So what's going on inside our own head, mm-hmm. the projection of what's going on in another person's head, mm-hmm. and how that's going to mm-hmm. Affect us.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And you realize that if you don't give it the consent to torture you, There's nothing it can do. There's
nothing it can do. Such motivation to practice to keep the attention here.
Yeah.
Because when I'm here, there fear cannot happen. Mm-hmm. It can only happen in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're here, fear cannot happen. It can only happen in a conversation. Thank you.
So helpful to hear other folks. I love that. Can't do anything to us unless we give it consent. I just saw there's no reason to be a victim in your life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really, ever. Uh-huh. Because that's the only place that victimization happens.
Uh-huh.
That's what I've been watching.
Uh-huh. The only place that victimization ever happens is the conversation ahead. Yeah. And so we can choose not to consent to it victimizing us, and there's no reason to be a victim in our lives ever.
Yeah. And then I think, as was being said too, is then everything's available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which you can't see when you're being victimized.
Uh-huh.
Like the very small
uh-huh.
victimizing world.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
not a lot of possibilities, if any.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well,
So it fits into everything that being said fits into, I wanted to share a practice success.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a year-long retreat, and it kind of goes in these 30-day cycles where we do these exercises together, and we get on a radio show with Sherry and Ashwini 5 days a week, and we talk about what we're seeing in the exercise, and this month happens to be around fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty regularly we hear folks who get behind in the class, and they kind of talk about that. Well, I had one of those episodes of getting
uh-huh.
behind in the class, and you know, it didn't have anything to do with fitness in the process I've seen, which is, you know, essentially there's something I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And then just one day, I'm doing it daily,
uh-huh.
and then one day the attention gets sidetracked, this thing happens, that thing happens,
mm-hmm.
it gets kind of put, and now it's late,
mm-hmm.
and now it's too late, mm-hmm. if so goes.
Uh-huh.
Even though I know there'll be a lot of other things I'll do when it's too late,
uh-huh.
but not that.
Uh-huh.
And so then tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then that sets up, and it has to be really good.
Uh-huh.
So there's a standard that gets set that wasn't really there before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you've got to make up for, you know, this bad thing that you just did, which is not keep your commitment.
Uh-huh.
It's really subtle.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of like, well, it's not a big deal, we'll do it tomorrow. But uh-huh. that's not really.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like the exit out of that place being slowly closed over by all of this conversation
yeah.
about, well, it's too late now, and because it's so late, then you need to make it really good to
yeah.
make up for.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like you're aware of the process of how you get talked out of doing something that you really want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the next day it's like, okay, you know, we're really going to set, and we're really going to look, because we really, you know, but then there's this pressure.
Uh-huh.
And so it has nothing to do with the assignments.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't want to deal with that pressure.
Uh-huh.
So then the coping is essentially to avoid, to procrastinate.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so then that just kind of keeps going. So on for a couple of 4 days, 5 days. And then yesterday it was like, I don't know, it was just really clear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting a voice in my head decide for me.
Mm-hmm.
Set a standard, tell me how it's going to go,
mm-hmm.
tell me it's too much, tell me to avoid it. Decide to keep me from doing something I want to do.
Mm-hmm. That victimization
yeah.
process that you started with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I mean, it's always true, but it was just like, what the heck? You know?
Uh-huh.
So then it was like, and the way I saw that was, I was talking about it.
Uh-huh.
So talk about communication. I mean, we're always in communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can be in communication with that voice.
Mm-hmm.
Putting somebody in a victimizing, small, limited, in control way,
mm-hmm.
or I can do what we do often, which is talk into a recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And hear somebody say there's a lot more outside the head than inside the head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to get it out and
mm-hmm.
see it,
mm-hmm.
which is where the what the heck kind of comes in, because there's an awareness of the process I've been trapped in
uh-huh.
where there wasn't previously.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So getting it out on the recorder, so one of the fundamental tools of our practice is recording and listening, so
mm-hmm.
using a voice recorder to help us
mm-hmm.
direct the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many ways to use it, but that's one of them. And so the way you were using it in this workshop was to talk about that process of how you being talked out of doing something that you really wanted to do, and that was what helped you see it, to get it out of the head and onto the recorder.
And I think as was being said, it makes everything so simple, because that's essentially what we're doing. We're just seeing how we are caused to suffer. And then once you see it from a distance, you're not identified with it, then it's pretty, it's much more quick. I don't do, like I said, I'm allowing a conversation in my, you know, and then there's all kinds of options, like, what standards, who's making up those standards, and so then what came in, so now there's room for the channel, the communication channel comes in, and it's like, well, it's Saturday night, and I live here at the monastery, so we can do whatever, you know, there's all kinds of room to do whatever we want. I mean, we're, no one's going to call us, we're not going to go to a movie, there's none of that. And so it just really leaves this space, and it's like, well, how about we make this fun? And then there's kind of like, what? And then it was like, well, how about we do like one or two assignments, and then we do a little fun thing, and we do one or two assignments, and we do a little fun thing. And so what ended up happening was I'd write these things down, like dance for 3 minutes, sing a gratitude song, do yoga for 10 minutes, and I cut them up into little pieces of paper and put them in a hat. And so it just made it like, there's somebody saying, every life is fun, and I'm cheering you on, and we're going to have a good time, not be made small. And it was a good time, the whole process, just writing the things out, like giggling to myself, cutting them out, putting them in a hat. I mean, who wouldn't want somebody like that in their life? And, you know, as opposed to, okay, but I mean, you really gotta, now it's gotta be, and you really do, should do some deep looking, and it's taking a lot of time.
The coach from hell.
Exactly. As opposed to the spontaneous fun, it's great however it goes, I'm with you, you know, drop the shoulders, find the laugh. There's no expectation, we're just looking together.
So it sounds like by shifting the attention from that coach from hell in the head to fun, you got to experience doing the assignments with the coach you've always wanted, right? Cheering you on, supporting you, out of that being victimized and into fun, into enjoying life.
And in that way, I mean, let's see, imagine people listening to us saying, oh, I love cleaning out that shop, or I love cleaning out the function. They're just like, huh? But in, from that process, anything and everything is fun and delightful and expansive and learning in the best kind of sense of the word. And then it was kind of like, once I got started, and this has always been true, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. And the attention's on what I'm doing, and so I can't hear the, it's going to because there's an actual experience of, well, I'm doing it. And it's not that, it's this. And then it was like, well, I don't need to do that pull out of the hat thing. You know, because we wanted to do that too. So we're going to stick with the plan, which I was glad I did, because it was super fun to do dancing and singing a gratitude song and that kind of thing.
So it sounds like, well, what you started off saying just then was that it's not about what we're doing, it's about how we're doing it, right? So attention not on that negative, victimizing conversation in the head, but here with what there is in life in the moment. And the experience of that is fun, is joy.
And so we're going to have that whole experience and then make a recording of celebration and success afterwards to kind of seal the deal, like that's what's possible for it, this is what we did, how great, and then I get to listen back to that. And it's a reminder of what's possible. And it also highlights when in that small, heavy place, it really contrasts that. Oh wait, this is the chance to turn the attention, get on the recorder, listen to that celebration, see what's possible.
So you have that celebration on the recorder and you get to listen back, and that reminds you of what's possible.
And the last thing I just want to say about communication, I just want to get it out loud, because it is one of those, one of my communication ones. I think for my whole life, as long as I can remember, and I've seen this in the communication book, it's those voices in the head, that conversation in the head, essentially worked constantly to make people in my life that I love have me be against them, or have them be against me. And that's that kind of scrambler. Mm-hmm. I know what that look means. Mm-hmm. And well, they don't, you know. Mm-hmm. And I and see that and this and that, mm-hmm. all this meaning that gets made out of a conversation. I'm sure someone on the outside, well, in living here, for goodness sake, is a privilege because we're not talking. Mm-hmm. So it's very clear it's being made up. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say out loud that I'm going to do whatever I need to do in terms of practicing to not allow that to turn people I love against me.
Uh-huh. So you're going to do whatever you need to do to practice not letting that turn people you love against you, or to create that separation that you were talking about, that you realize has been a process that's been going on your whole life. Yeah. June and then Square.
Yeah, this is my voice is particularly squeaky this morning. This has been a really great conversation. I'm behind in the class too. And it occurs every day to catch up. And so another book title that we have that I refer to pretty often is I don't want to, I don't feel like it. And it would be helpful if that moment of no, I'm not going to do that showed up in those words, because that's what it is. But it's subtler than that. It's so subtle. It's just a little no, I'm going to do this other thing instead. And I don't see it for the ego trap that it is, that it was old. That it is.
Yeah. Can I just jump in and reflect that? Don't lose where you're going. But so another of Sherry and Ashwini's books is I Don't Want to, I Don't Feel Like It, How Resistance Controls Your Life and What to Do About It. And so you I have to give it its full title, right? The Way Out is also included in the title, not just the resistance bit. And so you're noticing with the assignments for the year-long retreat that you don't hear in the head, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. You hear it show up more as a, no, not now, I'll do this other thing. And so what you're realizing is, if it showed up as, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, there would be, that would really catch your attention. And it's more subtle than that. But it sounds like, from what you're saying, that you are aware of the sort of things it says in the process of resistance that aren't, I don't want to, I don't feel like it.
I'm aware of the things that it says in the process. It's, you know, it's just a little, energy movement. That's all. And when it happens, there is on some level awareness that it's happening, and the choice is made to go with and it's, I've heard many people talk about that little movement, that little place where I know I'm colluding, and I choose the collusion. I talked about it. I've looked at it for years. So the whole image of watering the giant bamboo, just water it, just water it, just water it. This fight time, the next one, and the next one, just keep watering it.
Just keep watering it, yeah. And it sounds like the how of just keep watering it is staying in awareness, right? It's kind of one of the principles of the year-long retreat, right? That we don't kind of change ourselves or fix ourselves by going to there's something wrong and we need to fix it. It's a process of staying in awareness, and as Sherry often says, it's awareness that transforms. It's the only thing that does transform. And so what you're realizing is, and you even made a little hand gesture when you said, you know, you were aware of where that that no is. It sounds like you're aware of what that no feels like, where it is in the body, like there's a lot of attention being paid to that no. And I'm curious, have you recorded about what all that's like?
I'm very often not allowed to record either.
Uh-huh.
Very often the same conclusion happens. Uh-huh. Not a habit, but thank you.
Thank you for the question. Because, I mean, something that we often say about recording and listening, and especially with the two-handed exercise, is that anything can be brought into it, right? So you could pick up the recorder and talk about what that collusion feels like, where that no is in the body, and what that feels like, and what it's like. Yeah, what it's like for the person who's in that experience.
So recording, listening, and not doing it.
Yeah.
It's a whole topic. But it's just a piece of content in that whole, you can't have this.
So if I'm tracking, recording and listening is another piece of content in that you can't have this process.
You're trapped in this and can't get out. Process.
You're trapped in this and can't get out.
And immediately, I'll end with this, the image of, God, it's so long ago, it's a bird in a cage. And it's only got about 5 or 6 bars, and it's sitting there all depressed looking. When there's plenty of room to get out of the cage.
So the image of a bird trapped in a cage with just only about 4 or 5 bars. Thinking it's trapped in a cage when really believing it's trapped in a cage.
Colluding on some level, colluding with that belief. That's all it's going to do is look around a little bit and see. So I will own those projections onto that belief.
Own the projections onto the bird.
As usual, there's just so much. Let's see, where to begin? I'll start with just saying I've been working with a koan. What is it to be trustworthy? And so just asking that question, you know. So far, what I've seen is, you know, it's. I can hold being trustworthy as this big, huge, meta process that I could spend a lifetime becoming, you know, a trustworthy person. And just seeing that it is a moment by moment thing. And as was spoken to this morning, you know, gosh, it's what seems like just the littlest things. It's that choice point where it seems for me that it falls over into, I can be trusted or I can't be trusted. That's the message that gets, transmitted. So case in point, I mean, it's like a lot of it just, am I going to do my homework? Or am I going to check the weather? And boy, I see this happening all the time. I fall for that story of, God, I don't have the time to do that right now. But I'll see that there'll be the time to do something that's totally distractive and energy siphoning. But somehow I don't have the time to do this. I'll stop there for a minute.
So it sounds like you're in a big exploration. Yeah. What is it to be trustworthy? Uh-huh. You called it a koan, this thing that can't be resolved by the mind, but it's just resolved by insight. So you're holding it as a question. Yeah. What is it to be trustworthy? And what you're seeing about it so far sounds like this So there's trustworthy as a big abstraction, a big concept, something really big. And then you're also seeing that there's trustworthiness as a process, which is a moment-by-moment process. And it sounds like having to do with where the attention is, right? So
yeah.
There's something to do, like the assignment for the year-long retreat. And attention can go to a story about how there isn't time to do that, but there is time to do something that takes you into distraction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just being in that exploration and I do want to acknowledge a couple of things. First of all, that I actually am not behind in the homework, which is. It's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just a huge thing. I'm actually on it. And there was that moment last night when, you know, it's like one of those moments like, oh my gosh. You know, I think it's time for bed. And then I went, oh no, there was the homework. You didn't do the homework. But it wasn't. That is a point when it could be like becoming grudgingly,
mm-hmm.
like, oh God, mm-hmm. I got to do my homework to be the good right person,
uh-huh.
and you know I'm not gonna risk that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just watched this human being just sitting down to do the homework
uh-huh.
without a whole lot of. Conversation, and it was maybe a bit of that moment of trustworthiness. But you know, I choose this participation because wow, nothing feels better than you know,
mm-hmm.
than just keeping agreement.
You chose participation. Mm-hmm. You chose keeping agreement mm-hmm. because nothing feels better than that. And it sounds like you. Followed the guidance that dropped in, so you were just about to go to bed and it occurred to you, oh, the homework, mm-hmm. and then you watched yourself get up and do the homework. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't gotten in bed yet. I already been in bed. It might have been another conversation, but yeah, you know, there was like, at least she was on her feet. She could turn to the left or turn to the right, so, you know, she did turn to the left and sit down and do the homework.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is our year-long topic is fitness.
Uh-huh.
And I love this because it's just, you know, again, it goes back to, it's those little small, I love it, just being reminded over and over that the tiniest things
mm-hmm.
that we need to attend to. You know, and I have some months back we had a yoga class here
mm-hmm.
and she asked us to get up off the floor.
Uh-huh.
However we do that.
Uh-huh.
And I knew the right answer
uh-huh.
was to get up off the floor, you know, using your legs.
Uh-huh.
And but not that I had practiced that.
Uh-huh.
And so in my attempt to get off the floor without using my arms, I realized, oh my gosh, my legs. I have been using my arms to get off the floor repeatedly, and my legs are not. So there was this commitment at that point, that's it. I am not pushing myself up off the floor anymore. I am using my legs to stand up. And she kept that commitment.
Uh-huh.
And it's not been the easiest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there was that like, nope.
Uh-huh.
Nope. Uh-huh. We're not gonna abandon in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a and it's the little things. That's what I love about it.
Mm.
It's just that little thing. You know, we didn't have to go into a whole on you know. huge fitness commitment, you know, with a bazillion, you know, weights and bells and all that. But just that one little thing, we're going to do it, and we're not giving up on it. We're just going to keep at it. That was,
That one little thing, we're not going to give up on it. We're just going to keep at it. And it sounds like in the gift of that yoga class, you got that mirror held up, that information that, okay, I know the right answer about how to get up. What I'm actually practicing is using my arms, and so my legs aren't strong. And so then you got to, sounds like, bring what you know to do into, bring what you're doing into alignment with what you know to do. So now you're practicing not using the arm to get up, and that's your focus, that's your commitment.
It just feels so good to just chip away at it a little bit, you know, and lastly, I just want to close by saying that I sound like they're giving a speech, but anyway, I just so love the thing about being, you know, taking responsibility and communicating and just being reminded that if it's here, it's mine, you know, that if it's, you know, and seeing, this morning I've been able to see, if it's here, it's mine, and it comes from that place of, from another retreat that I'm in, looking at, when we start to look at things like, you know, life doesn't make any mistakes, and there's a harmony to it, and there's a perfection to it, and this life is just part of that harmony and perfection. So how's it going to take care of stuff if it doesn't use me to take care of stuff? So you know, so I get the assignment, and it's not a mistake that it's there in front of me. And then I, as Liz said, I don't need to know how to do it. I just need to, like, oh, okay, I got tapped, and I, you know, I don't know what to do, but, you know, so, yeah, just good to just be reminded of that, you know, instead of, I just know that, just knowing that place intimately, I don't see that, you know, gosh, I really don't see that. And because if I did see it, I'd be, you know, then what? You know, and that's that then what? I always gotta have it figured out, then what? You know? And it's not possible to know then what.
It's not possible to know then what. You don't need to have then what figured out.
Right.
If something's here, it's yours to take care of, to respond to, and that's not the same as needing to know what needs to happen or needing to know what to do.
Whole other process.
And it sounds like a dropping into that experience of non-separation, that you are a, as we sometimes say, a node of intelligence or an instrument that's not separate from life, and so life is using this instrument to take care of things, and so you want to be here to respond to what's in front of you to take care of.
It just reminds me, I think I've heard, anyway, I hate to attribute things because I don't, but you know, it's like that waking up in the morning and jumping up and saying, here I am, life. You know, what's next? Or not what's next. We're not going to what's next. What's now? I'm available. That's here I am, life. I'm available.
Here I am, life. I'm available.
And then you get your assignments.
Life offers them, huh? Penny.
A couple of small things jumped up. One is, I understand that the fire department locally, the main thing it's called to do is help people get up off the floor. The people reach the point when they can't get up off the floor. And the other thing I remember reading was that one of the best things you can do to maintain your balance is to walk on uneven ground. So this is a total practice. So I was just intrigued by, well, first of all, I want to say that I was recording assignment 16 as I walk down the hill.
Uh-huh.
So I'm caught up too. I was 3 days behind, and I'm caught up too. So yes, we're all nailing it. One of the things that was just that came up for me in the conversation that gives me a different perspective, which is helpful, is applying the notion of fitness to the things we're working with.
Uh-huh.
So I have to clean the living room today. We're going to be going out of town part of this week, and,
uh-huh.
and we have a house sitter coming, so when we have people come, we clean. and occasionally when we don't, but anyway. So I have to clean the living room today, and I was thinking, you know, and we have to repaint part of our house, because we painted all the rooms when we moved in 21 years ago. One of the big ones with the help of the monks, actually. Mm-hmm. But I was just noticing how been noticing how sort of tawdry it's gotten. It just gets old, you know. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I've done this winter, and I've just completed most of it this weekend, is staining the outside of the house. And what occurs to me is that one way of looking at it is keeping the place fit.
Uh-huh.
You know, a house gets old,
uh-huh.
and a house wears. Mm-hmm. And so to contribute to that, to its fitness, is not a way I had thought of it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's kind of a lovely way to think of it. It's like, yeah, you know, you are fit to meet the weather this winter,
uh-huh.
you know, that you would not have been earlier.
Uh-huh.
And then it contributes to my fitness in doing it too. So I just it's a much more inspiring perspective
uh-huh.
than just I have to do this to maintain the house.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So it's a much more inspiring perspective than I have to do this to maintain the house, to look at it through the lens of fitness.
Right.
And a really lovely place, I think you described it as, to take care of the house so that it's fit for the weather.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about the workshop, which reminds me of my garage, which is my workshop. And you know, it's not only contributing to the fitness, but it's contributing to the function of that place's fitness. It's
uh-huh.
fitness for its function.
Uh-huh.
So a building like that can be a dumpster,
uh-huh.
or it can be a workshop,
mm-hmm.
and they're very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was being described, I felt like, was making sure that this workshop
yes.
is a fit place to do work.
Yes.
And currently my garage is at the tipping point. And it's just helpful that, you know, and every now and then I think, I must clean this.
Uh-huh.
And I think of it in terms of I must clean this.
Uh-huh.
But what I realize is I need to get it in order again so it can be fit to do its work.
Mm.
And again, so it's just a really fun place to look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, a really fun place to look at it from that perspective, looking at the garage from, is it fit for its function?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Rather than I need to clean this, the total
right.
shift of perspective.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of partnership.
Uh-huh.
That rather than just a task I got to
uh-huh.
do. In fact, it really sort of takes it out of that I got to do this.
Mm.
Because if I do this for it,
uh-huh.
then when I need it,
mm-hmm.
it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And just it's a whole different perspective,
mm-hmm.
in which I'm very grateful.
Mm-hmm. A whole different perspective than I need to do something to take care of this garage, that you're taking care of its fitness so that it's fit then to take care of you. It's that,
that's right.
You know, it sounds like a giving and receiving, or one kind of process.
Yes. It takes it all out of the, on the one hand, I got to clean it and I feel sort of resentful.
Uh-huh.
Or on the other hand, I got to clean it because I need to be a good, right person.
Mm-hmm.
It takes it out of that ego place
mm-hmm.
into how do we do that? How are we together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not I need to take care of this garage if I don't want to,
right.
but a we, right? A we place. How can
yeah.
we do this together?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. June.
My garage long since reached the tipping point.
Ah, it's
tipped. It definitely tipped. Really helpful because
uh-huh.
what I saw is again a process. It's probably a kind of resistance,
uh-huh.
but it's certainly fits into the no, you can't
uh-huh.
have that do that
uh-huh.
process.
Uh-huh.
when I look at the garage, what happens, what arises in the head is, it's too big, I can't do this. And so nothing, very little gets done. Because I believe it's too big. And what it says is, you got to do this all in one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's too big, you can't do this, yeah. And you got to do it all in one day.
Yeah. And you've got to find somebody to help you, which is not easy. And increasingly, you're not physically capable anymore. So, how great it is to see that
yes.
in this moment.
Yeah.
It could take a month to get that garage back in shape. And you know what? The garage and I would be in a much better relationship. I would feel like.
So, just sounds like a kind of real life, live demonstration of that process of awareness is the only thing that can transform, right? In that moment, you got to see all the ways the exits are being blocked to cleaning the garage, and a different possibility dropped in, which is that it could take a month. You could work on it every day. It doesn't matter how long it takes. And in that process, you and the garage will be transformed together.
So, thank you, Sandra.
Thank you. Jen, yes. Yes. Go ahead.
When I hear the garage, and we can only do a little bit at a time, and it's just having pleasure, or having that feeling of having done that little bit.
Yes.
It's like a big mess of dishes, and they'll sit there for 2 days, and then when you get it done, it feels so good.
Yes.
So it's like maybe it never gets done, but just a little bit at a time, I guess.
Yes, maybe it never gets done, just a little bit at a time. Yeah, living in that process of taking care of it, sounds like, and having that feeling good of taking care of it, taking care of that mess of dishes, taking care of that garage. It's not about the outcome, it's about the process that you're living in and you get to experience and enjoy, huh?
Yeah, the frustration of going out looking for something. To do a task. And not being able to find it. The task gets left undone. And it's just like, that's just piling on.
Yeah, the piling on of sounds like reasons why you can't do this task, right? Going out to look for something, not being able to find it, and so you can't do the task. And instead, it sounds like what you're seeing is the possibility of step by step by step. What's now? What's now? What's possible now? Yeah. Thank you. Jen, we still have a couple minutes. Yeah, thank you.
I just love all of it. I will say that the shop took more than a month, just for the record. And such a, there's that term slight edge. And I think that's the thing that we're, for me, I'm up against, is that, it, exactly as you said, it either has to get done now, all at once, or forget it. And if I start down that slight edge one thing at a time, then it's like, oh God, I don't want to, you know. But when the process is the outcome, you know, when we're in that place of just care, right? Care for the thing, care for, and for me, especially at the beginning of a big job, I almost actively don't look at where I'm headed. Like, I'm not headed anywhere. I'm just moving this thing over here. And this needs to go to the trash. And because otherwise it's just way too hard.
As a conscious choice, you're focusing on just this step.
Actually, I realized I did that. I was we have some blocks in the lower parking lot that, you know, kind of show where the parking places are, and just over time they slipped down, or they got, you know, the weeds came up, or that sort of thing. Uh-huh. So I was working on that yesterday, and as I got down there, I realized, oh, you know what, there's quite a few steps involved uh-huh. here, you know. Uh-huh. So, okay, we're going to need a chainsaw, we're going to need a weed whacker, we're going to need clippers, we're going to need, right? Mm-hmm. So there are all these different things, okay. And I really did that, like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to, right now, I'm just going to clip these things. Uh-huh. And then I would look, okay, what now?
Yeah.
Okay, then I do that.
Yep.
And super good physical work. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, it's really almost like, well, that was magic.
Mm-hmm.
That just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like push through, push through, mm-hmm. push through, push through. Mm-hmm. Such a different process.
Mm-hmm. Such a different process than push through, push through, push through, and looking to an imaginary future in the head
yeah.
about all of the things that need to happen, and instead being with just this, what now?
Yeah.
What now? I'm just going to clip this. What now?
Yeah.
What now? What now? And the experience of that is magic, that it just happened.
The other thing that I was hearing when earlier in the fitness conversation that I love about living, I guess, in the country is... it's such a win-win because I do want to be fit.
Uh-huh.
And I've been looking at this, it's a whole other topic, but I much prefer being fit by carrying buckets of water
mm-hmm.
than by going to get dumbbells.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know, there might be some form of resistance in there. But what it has me do is, you know, we've talked about this for years, or I have, with the 10,000 steps. It's like, okay, let's see. Oh, take stretch out. Great. That's going to be another 100
mm-hmm.
steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, it's such a win-win
mm-hmm.
because I want to be fit. And so what
uh-huh.
needs to be done?
Uh-huh.
You know, what is there to take care of? That's what keeps me fit.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Win-win. What is there to take care of keeps you fit? And just to go back to what you started off talking about, right? So we're there caught in the two bad choices. If it's huge,
yeah,
it's impossible, and it has to be done all today.
Yeah.
So two bad choices, we're stuck there and we're looking to that conversation in the head, and then what's possible is living in win-win, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
out of the lose-lose.
Out of the lose-lose and into the win-win that's available to us when attention is here, which is, okay, the compost needs to be taken out, the trash needs to be taken out, great, 100 steps. And everything is taken care of. Everything is included in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Super quickly, I just one other thing, because I love the earlier discussion around the, I forget how it said, but you know, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I just uncovered this glorious form of resistance that just
uh-huh.
lived there in this last topic, which is, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Uh-huh.
It just, it starts with, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Is it like, say, what about the yeah, the yeah?
Oh, no, it's almost like a pre-teenager, like,
oh.
You know, mom says, like, you know, we're all going out for a walk, you know, and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Uh-huh.
Like, meaning, like, yeah, I hear you, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
When it's just a foregone conclusion. So it's not a conversation. It's not a form of quote. It doesn't feel like resistance. It's just, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know? And it happened the other day, and I watched, you know, we all talk about that calm place of there was a lot going on, it didn't feel that great, it was
uh-huh.
a long night,
uh-huh.
you know, finally, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, it dropped in, oh, I haven't done this. And I started to go to bed, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. So I pressed record, and I said, okay, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I continued on to bed, and it was an amazing recording.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't actually do the thing,
mm-hmm.
but boy, I saw so much about it,
mm-hmm.
and I just, it was so helpful in that place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything in me doesn't want to press record at that
uh-huh.
point,
uh-huh.
but it's huge to do it.
Uh-huh.
And not to make myself do
yes.
the thing,
yes.
but to expand that the awareness
yes.
is allowed to be. You're almost like, I'm not allowed to be in awareness because I'm not making the right choice.
Yes.
But to break through that, awareness can be everywhere.
Yes.
Even when I'm full making the wrong choice.
Yes.
Press record. Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
And just talk for
mm-hmm.
whatever length of time.
Yes. Yes. Awareness can be that. I can just press record. It's huge to do that.
Mm-hmm.
and get past that barrier of just because I'm not doing the right thing doesn't mean I'm not allowed to be in awareness. And so you get to press record, not to change anything, not to get anywhere, not to fix anything, not to be the right person, just to talk about what's going on.
Yeah, which I project eventually facilitates making the choice that the heart wants to make. That's the first step in that process.
Yeah.
Because I project underneath it that, yeah, I don't want to, is this preteen who's like, you know what, I'm actually tired of you telling me what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of you running my life.
Yeah.
And even though, yes, that is a form of conditioning, I also think it's a response to being controlled by the voice. Uh-huh. It's just that we get confused. Mm-hmm. And so that can be the first piece of getting disentangled by being controlled by that.
Yes, the first piece of getting disentangled from being controlled by that. And to go back to the process that we've been talking about, it's not a huge big thing and we have to work out how to get to the right place or to get out of the situation that we're in. We just have to do this yes. step, press
exactly.
record.
Exactly.
Just press record.
Yeah, that's so true.
Go ahead.
And trust that it will unfold.
And that was occurring to me too in that conversation about feeling the no and knowing that we're going with the no, that I project we all know that place, right? If we had a show of hands, every hand would be up. And that's the power of coming together as Sandra, right? Coming together in group, that we all get to look at it together and to support ourselves to be in that process of awareness around it and hear from other modes of intelligence.
Yes, exactly so.
It's so powerful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.